Last time in polytheism, we looked at the origin of the Celtic hero Cuchulainn, including his miraculously complicated birth and the petricide. I believe that's the word for killing a dog, at any rate.
Petricide?
Petricide.
I thought that would be like killing a rock.
Oh, you might be right. See, it's those damn Latinate words. Anyway, that led little Setanta to become the Hound of Cuchulainn, or Cuchulainn. Today, we ease forward into that time when a young man's thoughts turned to other things. Cuchulainn grew up tall. he grew up tall, dark, at least as dark as an Irishman gets, and handsome, and the women around him took notice. But none found favor with him until he happened upon Emer, the daughter of Forgal. Yeah. She, beyond all others, possessed the six gifts of womanhood, namely...
Oh, I can't wait.
Boy.
I can't wait
to... Oh, boy. Drum roll, please.
The gift of wisdom.
Oh, hey.
The gift of beauty.
Oh.
The gift of voice. Mm. The gift of sweet speech.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. The gift of needlework.
There we go.
And... the gift of chastity.
Yeah, when we started off with wisdom, I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't be so cynical.
It's almost like I ordered them that way. I'm sorry. And I'll go ahead and apologize in advance for part three of this story, because it's going to get way worse.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Emer could not yet marry Cuchulainn because her older sister had to get married first. Like 10 Things I Hate About You, or what's that Shakespeare play it's based on? And more crucially, Cuchulainn's deeds were, quote, still to do, as Emir puts it. So until he goes off and slays his hundreds, he isn't worthy of her. And there's also boob jokes in the middle there, but we'll skip that. So off Cuchulainn heads into the Land of Shadows to get his hero training from a warrior woman named Skatha. Along the way, he faces various trials, including passing the Plane of Ill Luck, where he receives help from his godly father, Lu, in the form of a wheel of light that he rolls in front of him and sparks shoot out. And,
whoa, cool.
Yeah, right? When he finally arrives at Skatha's doorstep, he finds a bunch of his fellow Irishmen, including his best friend, Ferdia, hanging out.
Drunk, I'm assuming.
Well... they're Irish, right? Mm. Eating potatoes, having freckles.
By the way, I'm ethnically Irish. I'm allowed to say
that. Yeah, totally. It's fine. They're separated from Skatha's home by the Bridge of Leaps, under which is boiling water filled with monsters. Boiled monsters.
Irish cuisine.
None of the other men have been able to cross the Bridge of Leaps because crossing the Bridge of Leaps
requires...
leaping.
Okay.
Amongst other things.
And they tend to be rather short.
Yeah. And it is one of the two final lessons that Skatha teaches them.
It's
and therefore...
hard to leap when drunk. Sorry.
and they have to click their heels in the air when they do it. So, you know. None of them have made it that far in their training. So Cuchulainn shows up, and like Batman in that weird plot device of a pit in The Dark Knight Rises, he tries to cross the Bridge of Leaps by leaping, but fails three times before, much to the astonishment of the jeering Irish warriors, he passes it and lands at Skatha's front door. Impressed by his pluck, Skatha takes Cuchulainn on as her Padawan, and teaches him lessons she has shared with no other warrior, including something called the Gay Bulg.
Bulge?
Pretty close. Which is some kind of spear that you toss with your foot, and it rips out all of your opponent's innards.
Oh. Hmm.
It's a pretty good tool to have in your belt. In the year that Cuchulainn studied with Skatha, it just so happened that she made war against the mightiest of all warrior women, Princess Aoife. After much heroicness, Cuchulainn finally faces Aoife in single combat, and just as she was about to destroy him, she'd shattered his sword, she's about to kill him, he pulls something equivalent to, "Hey, look over there!" And when she turned around, he grabbed her and slung her over his shoulder.
Oldest trick in the book. That's Scottish.
So he carries her over his shoulder back to Skatha, and they agree to peace, but it's ultimately Cathulain who got a piece and blew a baby into Princess Aoife. And then, like a real man, he left her. But guys, Celtic myth, there are some really powerful women, and we're not going to run into – I mean, they're warrior women. They're tough, but yeah. So just as he's about to leave, he gives her a gold ring and tells her that when her son is big enough to wear that ring – he has to be sent out to find his father. However, he also gave him 2 geish to pass on to her son. Geisha, if there's more than one, show up in a lot of Irish traditions. So if you're not familiar, it's essentially a magic rule, like some kind of binding spell that almost always leads to ironic and tragic consequences. Mm-hmm. We'll see more of them in part 3 as well. The 2 given to Cathulain's unborn son are that he is never to tell anyone who he is and that he may never back down from a fight. I can't possibly foresee how this could end tragically.
Yeah.
So Cathulain heads out after spending a year and a day under Skatha's tutelage and goes back to win the hand of Emir. Along the way, he slays some badass magical warriors, and then, after using the hero's salmon leap, which is one of his special moves.
That's like a combo move. Up, up, down, down, left, right, left, right. Hero salmon move.
Did you just acquire all weapons on Contra?
Yeah, 30 extra lives on Contra. But I didn't do BABA select start.
No, you missed that.
So.
Then he kills a bunch of Emir's father's men and kind of leads to the death of Emir's father himself because he tries to leap over a wall and then lands on the other side dead somehow. Oh. And then she marries him, because that's what you do when someone kills off most of your family and loved ones. And from that point on, the 2 are never parted again. Meanwhile, Princess Aoife gives birth to a son named Connla. Connla, once he's old enough to wear the ring of Cathulain, is sent off to find his father. As he approaches, he's met by various people who ask him who he is. And because of the geish, he cannot say who he is, of course. And because he won't identify himself, he gets challenged to fights. And because he can't back down, he ends up having to kill assorted Irish warriors. Predictably, when some stranger is killing Irish warriors, the king calls in his greatest warrior, Cathulain. Now, you might want to give Cathulain the benefit of the doubt here and say, how could he possibly know that this stranger who won't identify himself and never backs down from a fight is his son? But Emir, his wife, manages to put 2 and 2 together, and she tries to stop Cathulain from going after this young man, saying, surely this is your son to whom you yourself gave the geisha that keep leading this boy into mortal combat. And Cahulan's response is, well, even if it is my son, Connla, I'm going to kill him for the trouble he's causing. And no, folks, matter how hard you grab a myth and try to shake it, it will not cede to common sense. Believe me, I've tried.
Yeah.
So Cathulain meets the young man, asks him to identify himself, and when the young man refuses, Cathulain challenges him to a battle. They fight, and it is... all credit to Connla, the most difficult single combat Cathulain has in his life. But in the end, he uses the one trick only he was ever taught, the gay bulg, in which he guts his own son.
Wow.
Only then does Cathulain see the ring on the boy's finger and realize what everyone else had already worked out.
Oh, God, just listen to your wife.
Right? In order to make it up to his dying son, as the boy bleeds out, Cathulain presents him to the noblemen of Ulster, and they offer condolences and congratulations on a fight well fought.
I'm just picturing him with his guts hanging out, going, hey, thanks, guys.
High five. And then he dies, Cahulin's only begotten son. He's not much of a father, and he's also not very much of a husband either. While married to Emir, he falls in love with a woman named Fand, but he gets all pouty because Fand is already married to a god. Their brief love affair ends with Cahulain being so heartbroken that he goes off and lives in the mountains for a while.
With his gay bulk.
But to make it all better, the king gives Cahulain and his rightfully upset wife, Emir, a potion that makes them both forget the whole unhappy incident.
And thus the Irish invented roofies.
The key to any successful marriage is drug-induced amnesia. And thus endeth part two of our look at the Celtic hero Cahulain. Next time, what is the curse of Mocha? What makes a man? How best can one avoid poetic satire? And how does an otter figure into the death of a hero? Tune in next time, same Cahulain time, same Cahulain channel.